Hi, I'm Oki, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Book. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tell Me About Your Book. I'm really excited to be talking to author Anne Parker, who's written a set of poems, but they're also rhyming short stories. I'm really, really intrigued by this. It's called Magic and Memories. Hi, Anne. How are you today?
Hi, okay. I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for having me on.
thank you. You're welcome. This is exciting for me. I get to talk to you and talk about this really intriguing book, this wonderful book. Can you tell me where you are to start off?
I live in Hertfordshire in England. So it's just above London in England in the countryside. So, yeah.
Nice. I'm a Texas girl. So.
Are you? I thought perhaps you were.
It's pretty much total opposites
of
where you are. But let's talk about your book, Magic and Memories. Can you tell me what your book is?
Yeah, it's being a grandma, I thought I'd write some of the stories down that I've told them over the years. So I put them in the book. There's 20 rhyming stories. And at the end, there's a full story, chapter story. And they're about all different sorts of things. There's fun ones, family ones, and Halloween, Christmas, and dog rescue stories. I say there's 20, and they're all different, and they're very good for bedtime. They're either 2 minutes long or 4 minutes long, so it can be quite boring doing bedtime stories. So I don't want them too long, so hopefully the children will be asleep by the time you finish. But
right.
Yeah, so there's a good mixture of stories.
I love the fact that you've written these stories, but then to top it all off, that you're a grandma, it just makes everything even more wholesome and cozy. Even though all these different stories have like so many elements to it. Can you tell me how this all started? What made you? I mean, because I know you said you've told these stories over time and you just want to write them all down. Like, how did you decide, let's make it a book?
I think a couple of Christmases ago, my daughter bought an advent calendar where you had little boxes that you had to fill in for every day in December. And I said I'd make two for her. So I made these two miniature books and wrote two little stories and drew them myself, actually. And
wow.
So from there, I sort of read them to people, and I go on a ladies' radio net, and I read some on there, and they were so supportive and said, oh, you should write a book. I'm sure other people have been told that. So
want all that. Yes.
Yeah. Before I thought, well, I'm getting on a bit. If I don't do it now, I never will. And I've got 8 grandchildren altogether. I had 2 daughters, so 8 grandchildren. And actually, the lovely drawings, that was from my grandson, Harvey. He was 17 at the time, and he actually did the drawings for me. So,
oh, that's so cool.
It was perfect for doing a book at that time.
I love that. That's so brilliant. That's so cool. Can you tell me about at least one of the stories, or you're reading one of the stories for us, or or more?
Yeah.
I would love it.
There's little funny ones. And this one is about a mother's love, actually, because there's some about nannies and mums. And, and this one is called The Magical Dressmaker's Shop.
I'm so ready.
I grew up in Ireland, just me and my mum. We were poorer than most, but richer than some. When I was young, I was told of a shop. It had a red and white door with a bell on the top. Mum told me about the dressmaker there who made clothes for the fairies and pixies to wear. The shopkeeper seemed to know just what you need and never took payment, just pass on a good deed. She made me my party dress when I was 6. Mum said there was magic in every stitch. It was a light shade of blue and covered in lace and a skirt that twirled out and a sash round my waist. For my first day of school, the shop sent me a bag. Not leather like most, but I wasn't sad. Mine had good luck sewn in all of the seams. held not only my books, but also my dreams. My warm winter coat was also bewitching. There were wishes and fortune in all of the stitching. The buttons were made of mother of pearl, crafted by fairies for good little girls. Mum went many times when I was small to get magical presents. I remember them all. I never thought of the shop after I'd grown, and when Mum passed away, I went back to my home. I was cold in the house with no fire in the hearth, then remembered her smile and the sound of her laugh. I went up to the attic where I'd never been and started to cry at what I had seen. A sewing machine next to a very old light. Had my poor mum been working all hours of the night? In a chest on the floor was a big pile of rags, and the one on the top was the same as my bag. Bits of a man's shirt matched my dress shade of blue, and an old neck curtain had been cut in two. The sleeves made a sash and a cuff made the bow. She made sure I felt beautiful and would never know. I'd gone to my party and felt like a queen. Friends said it was the nicest that they'd ever seen. My coat, I could see, had been cut from a quilt, and I found an old blanket, the same as my kilt. With all of the scraps was a memory for each, like Christmas and birthdays or walks on the beach. My mum was the one who had sewn every stitch, so I never felt poor and always felt rich. Under the rags in an old shoebox, I found Annie the rag doll I got from the shop. She always, to me, was my luckiest charm, but it hadn't been magic that kept me from harm. My mum kept me safe throughout all of those years. "I love you, Mummy," I said through the tears. I left our old house and looked up at the sign. "For sale," it said, but it had to be mine. So now Annie the rag doll sleeps on my bed. She looked after me. Now it's my turn instead. I think of Mummy in heaven in a dressmaker's shop, with a red and white door and a bell on the top, making dresses for angels and mending their wings, and for all of the children, making wonderful things.
I'm grinning ear to ear. Yeah. Oh, you like I know you can see me, but man, can you do that again and again? This is so amazing.
Oh, a bit shaking there.
I have so many things to say. First and foremost, can you please read all your stories as a podcast that we can hear over and over again? There are storytellers out there in a podcast platform that there's not a lot like this. At least I don't think so. And this is magnificent. This is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Actually, somebody's hoping to put music in the background. A friend of mine, his name's Jim Fiddler. Mm-hmm. He's a musician, actually, and name dropping, his cousin's Christine Aguilera. he's a great musician, and he said he'd like to put some of his music to it and me read it out, and he put the music behind it. So,
that's so clever.
We're hoping for that. So, yeah.
Yes. Look, I'm already intrigued by even like the illustrations as well. You know, and then you're going to do the music part to it. Like, there needs to be more of this. Yes. This was great. Thank you for that's just kind of like opening the door just a tiny bit into this world that you've created. How was your writing process to make this book a cohesive book? How was the writing journey making it, you know, an entirety of the project?
Well, it's a bit magical in a way, actually. I'd say sometimes I'd go to bed and I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have a story there. I mean, the one I'll read you at the end is called Mermaids and Miracles, and that came to me. It's almost like an angel had planted it in my head. It was just so strange that I could get up and write it. It was really strange. And, some of them come like that. Other ones, you know, I see something, I think, oh, you know, I could write a story about that. Yeah, no, it was a bit easier than I thought, actually. I mean, I really enjoyed writing them. They came quite easily, you know. I suppose having all the grandchildren as well. And as I say, somebody I knew bought a cat called Rory. So I did one about Rory. And then I did a dog rescue one because I knew somebody that runs a dog rescue place in Scotland. So I just sort of took inspiration from a lot of different places and really enjoyed writing it, actually.
Well, I have a dog named Nugget. I'm just kidding.
I could ride hot ride with Nugget.
Will you grace me with another story? Is that okay?
Yeah, this is probably a bit more kids friendly, actually. Okay. I don't want to fly in, but I think because you know, somebody said, "Oh, they're really sad." As my daughter said, "They're really sad. It's a really sad one, Mum." I said, "Well, you've got Hans Christian Andersen. You know, mm-hmm. they are destined, don't they? And all that." So I thought, why not? I think kids can handle it. They're stronger than you think, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. And I like the stories that are, are even as a child, and I have a niece and a nephew that are 3 and 5, and just reading different stories with different challenges, even sad ones or scary ones, they like that. And I like to see their reaction on it. And it's great to ask questions. And
yes, that's right. Yeah. So this one's a bit more fun.
Okay, I'm ready. I really want to get hot chocolate or something, honestly. But I'm ready.
Don't fall asleep, will you? Right, this is called The Thimble and the Leprechaun.
Okay.
I went to Auntie's because Mum was sick. I actually think that she is a witch. She lives in a cottage that's full to the brim with a cat that hisses when you look at him. And there's hundreds of thimbles up on a shelf. Then she had to go out and leave me by myself. Look at my collection, but whatever you do, don't put on the thimble that's yellow and blue. Well, I tried not to look at the item in question and started off with the best of intention. But hey, I'm a kid. It looked like the rest. So it went on my finger to do a test. At first, nothing happened. I needn't have feared. But to my surprise, a leprechaun appeared. Thank you, he said. You have lifted my curse. Uh-oh, I thought. This day just got worse. The leprechaun laughed. Now the curse is gone, and said it was his fault, as he had done wrong. The fairy tale queen put this curse on me. When you hear what I did, I'm sure you'll agree. It was me that pushed Humpty off that wall, and Jack and Jill didn't just fall. And you've heard the story of three little kittens. Who do you think kept hiding their mittens? He went on to say why the weasel went pop and why all of a sudden that bough had just blocked. And believe it or not, you know Bo Peep? Turns out it wasn't her fault that she lost her sheep. The leprechaun grinned as he made his escape. Sometimes I wonder how I get in these scrapes. Should I tell my aunt, not on your Nelly? I put back the thimble and turned on the telly. But over the weeks, I heard a few things, like there's no wings for angels when a bell rings, and the Easter bunny has lost her eggs, and all five monkeys were pushed off the bed. Not only that, a little Miss Muffet had a big black spider put on her tuffet. But my leprechaun helped me once or twice, took me off the naughty list onto the nice. And the tooth fairy came the other night with double the cash when it wasn't that white. Will that leprechaun ever be found before London Bridge starts falling down? Now, would you believe I'm at Auntie's again? Things were going all fine, but for a while, but then. Oh, by the way, whatever you do, don't pick up the gold horseshoe. So I tried not to look at the item in question and started off with the best of intention. But hey, I'm a kid. You can't blame me. Maybe I'll just go and see.
I'm speechless. It's so clever. I love this. And I love that, you know, that I recognize the nursery rhymes. And that was so cool.
Oh, thank you.
That was brilliant. That was so incredible.
Oh, thank you.
So writing poetry, though, does that come naturally to you? Do you find any challenges in that?
You know, I'd never done any before. And since then, I've had a poem published in an anthology called Hidden in Childhood. And some people ask me to write them for if it's somebody's birthday, to do a kind of funny poem about them.
So, wow. Yeah.
I've gone berserk since I've retired, actually. Probably because I've got more time these days. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, yeah.
Wow. And since you have a little bit more time, then the podcast thing should happen. Or are you toying around with another book beyond this one?
I've actually sent off a mystery book and got signed for doing 2 mystery books.
Oh.
Yeah, because some of these stories are kind of like mystery ones. I like to put a bit at the end. So, yeah, I just have to pinch myself sometimes. Yeah, so I'm writing one about the Deadly Detective Agency. So.
Oh, okay. You know. Is that coming around maybe next year or anything like that? What are your plans on that?
Yeah, I've sent it off. It's being edited at the moment and having a front cover made. So hopefully 1 or 2 months, something like that. So really exciting.
So you're telling me that a detective mystery novel is also written by you, who's written Magic and Memories. This is
I'm really going for it. I'm hoping to have the word deadly in all the titles. So far I've got The Deadly Detective Agency, because it's about a medium that helps solve the murders. So the next one is going to be The Deadly Pub Quiz. Then there's The Deadly Regatta. And then The Deadly Book Club. I could go on.
That's really cool. What else can you tell me about you as an author, Anne?
I'm just learning as I'm going along, really. I think I was under the impression you could write a book, put it on Amazon, and that was it. You know, you'd sell loads. It's not quite as easy as that, is it? As you probably know. You have to sort of try a bit harder. And, you know, I've given it out to some libraries today. So I'm literally learning as I go along. And I found you get some really good highs where, you know, something nice happens. Like when I heard from you, you know, yes, I'll do a podcast with you. I'm like, oh, yay. You know. You know, something else happens, or, you know, you look to see, oh, how many have I sold this month? And you sold 1 or something. So it's very highs and lows, but I think you have to take the highs and run with them, really.
I always hear that authors say the marketing part is the worst of the worst. Yes. And I've always thought just finishing the book that's been living in your head for so long would be like the hardest thing to manifest through, but apparently not.
No, that is the trouble. Somebody's got to want to buy them, otherwise.
Right.
Is it quite heartbreaking?
I saw that you have 3 stories to read and you've graced us with 2. Were you willing to do a 3rd one still?
I am. I could do a Christmas one or the one at the end of the book. Should I do a Christmassy one?
Entirely up to you, but Christmas is my favorite holiday.
Okay. Now, this is called Liliana's First Winter. It's actually one of my grandchildren. And at the time, she was so tiny, and she was like, she didn't know what was going on. She, you know, like, what's that tree over there? You know, she was under 1 year old. So I wrote it on that kind of basis. But there is a couple of Christmas ones in the book. I think there's 2 Halloweens, 2 Christmases, but I'll read this Christmas one. It's called Liliana's First Winter. There's something white falling. Mum says it's snow. Who's making that mess? I'd like to know. Perhaps it's a snowman Mum's talking about. I just hope he can't get in the house. And one other thing, a tree has appeared. It's covered in balls. That really is weird. Now there's 2 stockings up on the shelf, and don't get me started on that naughty elf. There's lights everywhere and holly galore. What on earth's happening? I can't take any more. Lanterns and cards are strung up on string. My sister knows why, but she won't say a thing. Mum keeps singing about a jingling bell. Daddy's gone shopping. Why can't I go as well? Today I was put in a funny red hat. A man's come down the chimney. How scary is that? But hang on a minute. This stocking's for me. It says it's from Santa, whoever he'd be. It's full up with toys, all covered in wrapping. Mum can forget it. There's no way I'm napping. Then we had a big meal with something called sprouts. Just so you know, I spat them all out. The others pulled something that made a loud bang. Give babies a heads up next time if you can. I got so many toys, they were in a huge mound. And the next day, Nanny and Granddad came round. What more presents? I could get used to this. Merry Christmas, said Nan. So that's what this is. Things went back to normal, then would you believe? There's a special night called New Year's Eve. There's not any presents, just fireworks and fun, and lots of wishes and kisses from everyone. Winter was my best time of the year, till I heard there's a bunny who brings chocolate eggs here. And then there's birthdays with candles and cakes and even more presents. I really can't wait. It's a wonderful life, of that there's no doubt. Just promise we'll never have any more sprouts.
I'm not sure how to tell you anymore that I'm so fascinated by everything you've read, everything you've done. This is so cool, Anne.
Thank you.
Look, I think I can just listen to you over and over, and and I'm going to spoil my little niece and nephew of your book. I'm 100% sure of this. This is great.
Well, it's a little tiny. It's 5 inches by 6 inches. It's about 180 pages, but mm-hmm. I think children like it because it's their size. It's a very small book. But yeah, they do like it, I must say. So.
But how has it been since you published your book?
Yeah, it's gone pretty well. To start with, I sold a lot and then it dwindles off and then, mm-hmm. Then somebody will buy it. And so it could have gone better, but I'm actually very, very pleased with how it's gone, to be honest. Seeing as I was nobody, I'm very pleased with how it's gone.
Well, I don't think you're nobody. So even though you're shifting toward your mystery books, the Deadly series, are you still going to dabble in more of these poems, especially these children's poems? Are you still going to continue?
I'd like to, actually. I think if I get the inspiration and they come to me again, I've already got a few that I've written out, but taking a lot of my time to do the mystery book.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because you have to have so many words. I think it's at least 60,000 words. And sometimes right. I've written 40,000 and you think, oh my goodness, how you you've got to add some more somewhere or go right. off on a tangent or make it longer. So that takes right. quite a while. But do you want me to read the last one of the rhyming stories to finish?
Oh my gosh, yes, please. I'm in awe, so yes, please.
Yeah, this is probably another one that probably, not so childlike, but it's, it gets a child asking questions, and mm-hmm. I think it's nice, and young and old like it. And it's called Mermaids and Miracles. When I was 5 at Sandy Cove Bay, I met mermaids and pirates on that first holiday. I think I was 6 when I played with a witch. We'd fly to the moon on a stick for a broom. And in my garden, where the long grass grew, was where pixies lived and fairies flew. I made them houses and acorn beds, and we'd hide from the trolls in the garden shed. A pink unicorn would come for tea, and a prince once asked to marry me. As the marks of my height on the wall got high, childlike things had passed me by. The more I grew, the less I saw. Maybe I didn't believe anymore. But when we went back to Sandy Cove Bay, my son saw a mermaid, I heard him say. He dug in the sand for an old treasure chest by reading a map that the pirates had left. Then to our home, a wizard came. Inventing spells was their favourite game. With monsters to fight when he played with his friends from under the stairs where they made their den. Years later, my grandson stayed for the night. There were ships to sail and pirates to fight. And in the garden by my old shed, the fairies had gone. There were dragons instead. And now that I'm old, I don't feel sad. I remember the magical times I had. And I didn't think I'd see any more of the mystical creatures like I had before. Then just like that, I could suddenly see a sparkling angel in front of me. She said, come with me, and took my hand. I'll take you home to a wonderland where rainbows never need the rain, and you'll see all those things that you loved once again.
I love that there's wizards. That's what I was writing down, the fact that there's wizards. Once again, like I said, I don't know how else to tell you. I'm in such awe. This is fantastic. And thank you for introducing me into this world that you've created. And especially knowing that you, this is so good. I'm excited to read your deadly series as well, actually, your mystery novels, because that's what I usually gravitate to.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
It's a cozy mysteries. I don't like anything with a lot of blood in and gore. And it's quite funny as well. It's got good characters in.
Oh, nice, nice. So, Anne, where can we get your book?
It's on Amazon. It's a paperback or on Kindle. It's on All Author and Goodreads and plenty more of the sites on Google, actually.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to say thank you for coming by today. And I want to talk to you more and more of your cozy mysteries, and especially of this book, Magic and Memories. And I want to see all the illustrations and the music and everything. So I hope you keep going with this, please. And any last minute thing you want to say before you go today?
Yeah, just that I'm really happy I've done this. And I was so nervous, actually.
No.
I've been practicing all day.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, I feel so, like, yeah. I feel so privileged to get to do this with you, actually. Yeah. Thank you.
You've been really gentle with me because it's my first podcast.
I'm the one that's honored. This is cool. Believe me, I'm like I said, I'm in awe of this. Just hearing you get to read those poems for me. Because, you know, I take it as for me only, you know, not the audience. No, I'm kidding. Well, thank you, Anne. I hope I get to talk to you again. And since we're running out of time a little bit, I will talk to you later.
Oh, thank you very much, Oki.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Me About Your Book. Please continue to support indie authors and indie bookstores. And if you would love to support Tell Me About Your Book podcast, you can certainly do so by going to buymeacoffee.com/tellmepodcast. For a price of a coffee, you can support monthly for just $5. There's other tiers too in the memberships, and you can look at all the info about it, and I would certainly, certainly appreciate it. And of course, there's the other podcast, Books, Cats, and Snacks, where Katty and I talk all things book and about her cats too. See you then.